Okay, if you have your Bibles tonight, we're going to be in the 39th chapter of the book of Genesis. And we're dealing with Joseph and, his brothers hated him. He had a vision where he dreamed that he was going to rule over them, and then also over his father and mother. And basically, they said what the Jews said of our Lord Jesus Christ in the 19th chapter of Luke: "We will not have this man to reign over us." And then, of course, they were out, and Joseph had gone out to see how they were doing while they were watching the flocks. And they, put him in a pit. And then some Ishmaelites came along and took him out of the pit. So when they got back to the pit, they decided they would sell him, and he was already gone. And of course, which speaks of the resurrection of our Lord. And then the Ishmaelites took him down into Egypt. Then in between, we have the story about Judah and Tamar. And under Jewish law, the covenant relationship that God had with them at that point in time, if a man died without producing children with his wife, then the wife was to be given to the next one in line in the family. And of course, at this point in time, in the family of Judah, the son is just a boy. And so when he reaches an age where he could be given to be the husband of Tamar, Judah didn't do it. And so Tamar went down to a place dressed in garments as if she were a harlot. And Judah came down that way and made a deal with her, and she says, "Well, give me your signet ring and your staff," and there was one other item, to signify that you will fulfill your promise to send me a kid. So then he went on, sent a servant back to pay, and she wasn't there, and asked the question, "Where's the harlot that was in this place?" There wouldn't be a harlot in this place. And so 3 months later, Tamar is beginning to show. She's pregnant, and Judah is all ready to put her to death for her infidelity. And so she shows to him, when he's getting ready to have her put to death, "The man who gave me these things," and she brings out a signet and a staff and whatever the third item was.
The bracelet, staff.
What was it, John?
The bracelet, the staff.
Oh, the bracelet, yeah. There was a bracelet. So she had these three things, and the man goes to retrieve those and give her the kid, but there's no harlot there. And they said, "There never was a harlot there." And so then when they're ready to stone her, who caused this to happen? And it's, the man who owns these things. And then Judah recognized that she's more righteous than he is. And so, it's an interesting thing in our relationship with the Lord. The scripture teaches us there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There's none righteous, not even one. And so that's who we are. And God, by his grace, quickens the word of God to our hearts so that we can believe it and be saved. Now, at that point in time, even though we're saved and indwelled by the Holy Spirit, we're still not better than anyone else in the human family. And that's sometimes hard for people to recognize, especially in so many churches, there's a lot of, you can't do this, you can't do that, you mustn't do this, and you mustn't do that. And I'm not putting down proper behavior, but there's no one in this world that lives to a standard that's acceptable to God. The only thing that we can do that can be remembered by God is what we do by faith. The just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith. And whatsoever is not of faith is what? It's sin. So, as we come then into this 39th chapter, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt. So, we were talking about Joseph. Then we have this episode with Judah and Tamar. And then we go back to Joseph again. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites. Remember, they were the ones that took him up out of the pit, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now, in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, there's a portion of scripture people quote it all the time, and they expect that everything that happens to them is going to happen to what they think is their good. But the promise is that, and we know, that God works out all things together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to His purpose. So it's the good of God working in us, and sometimes, as we're going to see with Joseph, we're going to see it doesn't look like he's getting a lot of good here as we read through this. But ultimately, it works out because Joseph is a type of Christ. And remember, he had shown his brethren, and he had also shown his mother and father, that he was going to rule over them. And basically, the Jews said concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, we will not have this man to reign over us. And so there's it's a type of Christ and the relationship between Joseph and his brethren and the Lord Jesus Christ and the nation of Israel. So let's pick up at verse 1 of the 39th chapter. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph was kind of like having a good luck charm. Everything that this Egyptian did, as long as Joseph was in his house as his chief servant, it prospered. And so Joseph found grace in the sight, or in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had put into his hand. In other words, you know, this guy is, he understands the stock market, he plays it just right, he does this, everything he does, I'm prospering. You know, and so then it says in verse 5, and it came to pass, from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. He said, this guy's a financial wizard. I'm going to let him handle everything, you know. And so he was doing that, prospering very well. And so he says that he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. In other words, Joseph was handling all of his affairs, and the man couldn't even say what he owned and what he didn't own. You know, he put it all in Joseph's hand, and it was prospering. So in verse 7, it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. Ah, here comes the devil in female clothing, you know. So she cast her eyes upon Joseph, and every day she said, lie with me. You know, now with our sin nature, that's a big temptation. But Joseph was faithful to his master. He says, my master's committed everything into my hands. How could I, do this and dishonor him? But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wanteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There's none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. And how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Now, it's not a sin against the Egyptians, it's a sin against God. And so it came to pass, as he spake to as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business. And on this particular day, none of the other servants are in the house. Yeah. And she says in her mind, I finally gotcha. And so she caught him by his garment in verse 12, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Now, basically, they wore a sheet wrapped around him, tied with a sash. So when she grabbed a hold of it, he spun out of it naked. And then when that happened, she said, damn, he got away again. Then she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought an Hebrew unto us to mock us, and he came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice, hoo, hoo. more than one fellow has been hooked that way. she said she cried out, and he fled and got him out, and she laid up his garment by her until her. What we mean by Lord here, not the Lord God, but the Lord of the house, her husband, came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. Beware of a woman scorned. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. The garment was really evidence that he fled from her rather than going to her. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did the servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. Now, this guy's been making lots of money with Joseph. Everything has been really well, but he believes the story of his wife. And it's all lies. And so his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. Now, think about that verse that we quoted over in Romans, I think it's 8:28, I think it is, yeah. And we know that the Lord works all things together for good. Now, at this point in time, Joseph has served his master well. He's increased his wealth many times over. And now he's been falsely accused. And he's not believed, but the liar is believed. Okay? And he's put in prison. Now, at that point in time, he said, Lord, what happened to that promise? You promised to work out all things together for good. Yeah. And sometimes, as we go through these things, sometimes the good appears bad for a while until God works things around to bring it out so that the glory is the Lord's. And so he put him in prison, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Joseph must have really had a terrific personality. You know, he was a handsome guy, and he was very good at what he did. And so he immediately found favor with the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. So now, as the Egyptian prospered at Joseph's hand, now the head of the prison is prospering at Joseph's hand. So as we enter chapter 40 then, remember, basically we're looking at the principle over in Romans, and we know that God works out all things together for good. But you can see at this point in time, you know, with his brethren, they hated him and they threw him in a pit. And then with the Ishmaelites, they sold him to an Egyptian. And he's doing well there, but the Egyptian's wife, she's got hot britches, and, you know, she wants to have a sexual relationship with him. And Joseph is an honorable man and not willing to defame his master. He refuses, and so he gets thrown into prison. Does that sound like everything's working out together for good for Joseph? Not at this point in time. And Joseph really is a type of Christ. He came unto his own, and what? His own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. And so Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, verse 2 of the 40th chapter, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard, into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them. And so he, you know, he's looking after them in the prison. And he served them, and they continued a season in ward, or they were bound in prison. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night. You know, so when they dreamed this dream, each man, according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker, the king of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning, and they looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. You know, they dreamed this dream. They didn't know what it meant. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, "Wherefore look ye so sadly today?" You know, I was trying to remember Danny DeVito in the Renaissance Man. Why look ye so sadly upon me today? You know, like at a funeral. Okay. And let me find that. And verse 8 then, and they said unto him, "We have dreamed a dream, and there's no interpreter of it." And Joseph said unto them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you, or each of you tell me your dream." And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "In my dream, behold, a vine was before me. And in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup unto Pharaoh's hand." And Joseph said unto him, This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto the place, or unto thy place. In other words, you're going to be taken out of prison and restored to your former position. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. But think on me when it shall be. In other words, remember, I'm interpreting this for you. So when it happens, remember me. And we're going to see that he doesn't at first. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. In other words, I didn't try to have an affair with my Egyptian master's wife. When the chief priest when the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, "I also in my dream was in my dream, and behold, I had three white baskets on my head, and in the uppermost basket there was all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh and the birds to eat them out of the basket upon my head." And Joseph answered and said, "This is the interpretation thereof. The three baskets are 3 days." Okay? Just like with the other dream, this is going to take place in 3 days too. "Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee." So, for the butler it was well, for the baker it was not. They both had dreams. Joseph interpreted both. And it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants, and he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph. You interpreted it for me. When I see Pharaoh, everything's okay, I'll remember him to you. But people fall into their own manner of life. And as soon as he was free, he forgot all about Joseph. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. So this didn't happen right away. Joseph had interpreted the dream. Within 3 days, they'd been fulfilled. One was restored and the other was hanged. But then 2 years elapsed and Joseph's still in prison. And so that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine, fat flesh, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean flesh, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. So, dreaming about cattle, and we've got cattle that are well-favored, then we have some that really look bad. And the ill-favored and lean flesh kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke, and he slept, and dreamed the second time. And behold, 7 years, or 7 years, years, and 7 ears of corn came up into one stalk, rank and good. We wouldn't use rank that way, but that means full. Really, really nice ears of corn. And behold, 7 thin ears. And blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears, and Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. And he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all of the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them the dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. So only Joseph is able to do this. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with me, with his servant, and put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he, and we dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man in Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dream, to each man according to his dream, he did interpret. Now we're seeing, okay, after a whole lot of time, and things not looking really good, now it's finally turning, just like with our Lord. He came unto his own saved him not. They despised him. They said, we will not have this man to reign over us. But yes, he will reign over them. And they will have to come at a future day and believe on him, just as the sons or the brothers of Joseph came to believe on him and his father and mother. So this is a portrayal of the relationship, really, of our Lord Jesus Christ with the nation of Israel in their relationship with the Lord. And he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. He restored unto mine. Why can't I read? And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me, he restored unto mine office. And him he hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment or his clothing, and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there's none that can interpret it, and I've heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. No. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. And this is, you know, it's just like when I'm preaching and studying and the Spirit of God reveals things to me, you know, it's a constant process. But I do not have that understanding because of any super intelligence in me or anything in me. It's all done by the power of God with the gifts of the Spirit of God. And he alone deserves the glory. We have to recognize that there's nothing that we do in and of ourselves that can be accepted of God. God gives us spiritual gifts. We trust his Spirit to activate those gifts in us. We depend upon him to give forth the truth of the Word of God according as he would have us do it. And then when it comes time at the judgment seat of Christ, amazingly, each one of us as believers is going to be rewarded for what the Lord did in us, but not anything that we've done by our own power or intelligence or in the flesh will be remembered, because it says their sins and iniquities will I remember against them no more. So the just are live by faith, and what? The law is not of faith. And whatsoever is not of faith is what? It's sin. And what's the new covenant? Their sins and iniquities will I remember against them no more. So the Lord's given me certain spiritual gifts, which I've exercised over these years. And at the judgment seat of Christ, if I've been faithful in the exercise of those gifts, I'm going to receive a reward. You are going to receive a reward, but it's once it's given to you, you're going to take it and cast it before the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, because only he is worthy to reign. And so in our relationship with the Lord and our service for the Lord, there really is no place for boasting or for the ego to think, oh, I'm really smart. I saw this. I saw that. No, we only know things because of God in us, you know. And it's by His Spirit and by His Word that we have these abilities. He'll reward us for them. And then when we have the rewards in our hand, we read over in the book of the Revelation of the 24 elders, they take what they have in their hand and cast it before the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, because only He is worthy to reign. And that puts everything in perspective. You know, it tells us what we do because of His gifts and His power in us, but we don't do anything by our own intelligence or by our own power, because if we do it by that, there's no reward. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin, and the new covenant relationship is their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And so Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there's none that can interpret it, in verse 15 of this 41st chapter, that thou canst understand a dream to interpret, or I've heard say of thee that you have the ability to interpret dreams. Now, Joseph didn't have that power in and of himself. He had that power by the Spirit of God. And Joseph answers Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. And so Joseph's make it very clear. It's not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river. And behold, there came up out of the river seven kine, or seven cattle, fat flesh and well favored. And they fed in a meadow. And behold, seven other kine came up after them, poor, very ill-favored, and lean flesh, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt. For, I mean, these were really bad. You know? And the lean and ill-favored kind did eat up the first seven fat kind. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them. In other words, they didn't become fatter and healthier looking after eating up the good kind. And so, and I saw in my dream, and behold, 7 ears came up in one stalk, full and good. And behold, 7 ears withered thin and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. And the thin ears devoured the 7 good ears. And I told this unto the magicians, but there was none that could declare it to me. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. The 7 good kine are 7 years. And the 7 good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. And the 7 thin and ill-favored kine that came up after them are 7 years. And the 7 empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. So basically he's saying, you're going to have 7 really good years of production. And then after that, it's going to be as if the land doesn't have any more nutrients in it. You're not going to produce much. You won't be able to feed yourself. And so he says, behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, and there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of the famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for the dream, and for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Okay. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land. And let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt. In other words, take 20%, a fifth part of all that's grown, and let them gather all the food of those good years that come and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities, and that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine. In other words, when you have this really fat harvest, save back part of it, build storage warehouses so that you can get through the 7 bad years that are going to follow. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, and the land that the land perish not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servant, can we find such a one as this? Is a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, For as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou. In other words, you were able to tell me what it means, and you'll be able to provide a solution. So Joseph is being honored and brought into a position of rulership in Egypt, but it's all because of the power of God working in him and through him, and not because of anything in himself alone. Thou shalt be over my house according unto thy word, and thy word shall all my people, and according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. So Joseph was made second ruler in Egypt during this period of time. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I've set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot, which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. In other words, everybody's going to have to operate according to what you tell them to do. So Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot. I read that. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah, and he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, Pharaoh, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. And in the 7 plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities, the food of the fields, which was round about every city, and he laid up and he laid it up in the same. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much, until he left numbering, for it was without number. This was really a bountiful harvest. And unto Joseph were born 2 sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the first Manasseh, for God said, he hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. And the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended, and the 7 years of dearth began to come according as Joseph had said. And the dearth was in all lands, but in the land of Egypt there was bread, because of the wisdom that God had given to Joseph how to handle this bountiful harvest. And so, and the famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians, and the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because the famine was so sore in all the land. Now, we have to go back. I don't normally read that much, but it seems the best way to handle this portion of Scripture. So God had caused Joseph to be hated of his brothers. They threw him in a pit. He was lifted up out of the pit to do what? To become the savior of his brothers who hated him without a cause. It's a picture of the nation of Israel. Really, it's a picture of all of the redeemed. We enter into the blessing, but it was Israel who said, "We will not have this man to reign over us." And it was Joseph's brother, "He'll never reign over us." And it was his father and his mother who said, "Shall we really bow to you?" But he kept all those things in his heart. And if you think about the nation of Israel and their relationship with the Lord, Scripture says over in the first chapter of John, he came unto his own. Let's turn over there. We've got just a minute or so in this. We'll kind of bring it all together. John chapter 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." So a word is an expression of a thought, or, a word is incorporeal. You can't see it unless you write it on a page, but we speak it, and this speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had, 33 years of life upon this earth, was crucified, buried, and rose again the third day. He was rejected of his brethren, so that when he comes in a second coming, they'll look on him whom they pierced and believe and be saved. It won't mean that all of them will believe and be saved, but God, is in the business of saving souls, and where there is a heart that turns unto the Lord, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So it says of the Word that was with God and was God, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So we know who Jesus is. He's the creator of the universe. He's God. Yeah. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Just like Joseph's brothers could not see how he could reign over them, they hated him without a cause. The nation of Israel did the same thing with him. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, this John the Baptist. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, and the light is Christ, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light. He was just a servant of the Lord to announce him, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, that is the light, and the world was made by him, and what? The world knew him not. When you talk about Jesus with unsaved people, they just see him as someone who may have lived in the past. They don't even give a validity to his existence. Some do, many do not. But he came unto his own. That is, he came to his own nation. Just like Joseph came to his brothers and said that he was going to rule over them. And their idea was, he'll never reign over us. And Israel's attitude has been basically the same. But when God changes their mind, when he appears at his second coming, they're going to look on him whom they pierced and believe and be saved. So he came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as his own received him. I added that in there for clarity. To them gave he power to become the sons of God. It's true of us as well. You know, as many as received the Lord Jesus Christ, what did he do? At a moment in time, he quickened the word of God to our hearts, and we're called born again, or children of God, by faith in Jesus Christ. And then it says, he gave them the power to become the sons of God, even to them to do what? No more than believe. That's all it takes. Which were born not of blood, that is, it's not out of our human lineage, nor of the will of the flesh, it's not our human desire, our will. God has to change our mind, and he gives us the will to believe. So, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. You know, we can desire the whole world to be saved. And we can do all that we can as far as preaching and teaching and writing and so forth. But the fact remains, we haven't the power to save one single person. We simply do what God said. Preach the word. Be diligent. As instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort. You know, people don't like to be reproved. They don't like to be rebuked, and they don't really like to be exhorted or taught. You know, reprove, rebuke, exhort. For the time will come when they will not receive sound doctrine, and that's basically been through most of the history of the nation of Israel. But when the Lord comes, they're going to look on him whom they pierced. And at that moment in time, they're going to believe and be saved. And the Lord's going to establish his kingdom on this earth for 1,000 years. And the only people that will be in that kingdom, there will be certain ones that will be obedient to the Lord. And the rest of us will be redeemed and rule and reign with him. And we'll do it for 1,000 years. And at the end of that 1,000 years, Satan will be loose a little season. And those people that entered the kingdom, not based upon salvation, but based upon good works, are going to follow the devil and try to kill the Lord Jesus Christ and try to kill us. You know, it's strange that man said, we will not, just like Joseph's brother, we will not have this man to reign over us. But God has a will that's going to take care of the redeemed. No one that was chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world shall fail to come to faith in Christ. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and thank you for the marvelous truth of your word. We did a lot of reading tonight. I felt that was necessary in order to get in all of the details of the famine and of the wisdom that you gave Joseph, and of how that Joseph represents the Lord Jesus Christ in his person and in his work. And we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.